in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, we're back. We are back. We are back. All right, here I am. Here I am. Still doing a little, I wouldn't call it damage control. I would call it, I'm proud that I stood up. I won't do it the next time I'm there. I didn't realize I was breaking the rules. I didn't know it was a rule. The president walks in the courtroom. I stood up automatically. That's what you do, right? All right. So other stuff going on, and I still can't believe he's going through this, right? So they're done with Stormy. Pardon me. Stormy is gone. And, I think, Who knows? Hey, at one point, I thought the jury was not paying attention. Turns out they have little monitors. At first I thought they weren't paying attention. Then I realized they have little monitors in front of them where, well, there's a video feed of the witness stand. Evidence is put up there. So they're all looking kind of down, but there's a screen in front of them. What else? I could see that becoming horrendously boring whenever somebody else other than a president of the United States is on trial. I mean, you know, if it's just some regular, gosh, that's got to be the most tedious, maddening thing. And it's a machine. It's just a machine. You know, these cases against Trump are imploding. And today somebody said to me, well, the system, you know, maybe the system is working, right? And I don't want to say that because the system has allowed it to get this far. Something is working. It's kicking in right now and amazing things are happening, but I don't want to say the system is working, right? Do you? So, this is the message right here that should render Joe Biden ineligible for office forever. He must resign immediately. Doing this to our ally Israel, our precious ally Israel, saying it and doing it. It's unbelievable. Aaron Burnett is such a little kiss ass on CNN, but listen to this. Cut one.
I know that you have paused, Mr. President, shipments of 2,000-pound U.S. bombs to Israel due to concern that they could be used in any offensive on Rafah. Have those bombs, those powerful 2,000-pound bombs, been used to kill civilians in Gaza?
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem. We're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks like came out of the out of the Middle East recently. But it's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and the artillery shells used that have been used.
Artillery shells as well.
Yeah, artillery shells.
So just to understand what they're doing right now in Rafah, is that not going into Rafah as you define it?
No, they haven't gone into the population centers. What they did is right on the border, and it's causing problems with right now in terms of with Egypt, which I've worked very hard to make sure we have a relationship and help. But I've made it clear to Bibi in the War Cabinet, they're not going to get our support if, in fact, they go in these population centers. We're not walking away from Israel's security. We're walking away from Israel's ability to wage war in those areas.
Guess what? That is Israel's security, you son of a. That is what it's all about. Weapons at a time like this, you're going to hold back. You're taking Hamas's side. You're taking the side of the terrorists, you maniac. Does he remember what happened on October 7th? Does he realize that there are women and children and the elderly being held by Hamas? This has to be done. And whether it means, whether it's symbolic or actual operational, I think it's pretty operational. Hey, I want to take the last one, the big full minute clip. All right. This is what leadership sounds like, Joe Biden. Not hesitant and weird like you. Not stabbing our ally, neglecting our ally, blowing off our ally, but standing up for Israel. You can use the first one. This is Donald Trump on his way into court. The man is going through a criminal trial, yet has a million times more leadership than Joe Biden and knows the right thing to do. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. What Biden is doing with respect to Israel is disgraceful. If any Jewish person voted for Joe Biden, they should be ashamed of themselves. He's totally abandoned Israel, and nobody can believe it. I guess he feels good about it because he did it as a political decision. You have to do the right decision, not the political decision. But
you have to do the right decision, not the political decision. And you can use the other, the 1 minute clip, all right? Because then he talks about the judge a little bit as well. Hey, one thing, you know, have you noticed? Seriously, I noticed this today. I mean, we're all there kind of bedraggled a little bit. You know, you wait online and part of it is, look, when you're not president, what do you have to do? Right? You have to go through security. You got to wait online. You know, you got to take the subway. You got to take the bus. You got to wait for your Uber. And by the time you show up pretty much anywhere, you're a little bit bedraggled, some more than others. This guy's always immaculate, just always. Now, part of that is, well, there's literally almost a red carpet everywhere he goes. I noticed this with President George W. Bush. I'm like, there was something like kind of special about him. And I realized, oh, it's 100 degrees out. We've all been in the 100 degree weather for the past 3 hours. You just walked out of that air conditioned building 8 seconds ago. That's why you look so clean and whatever. And but it is an immaculate presence, and the guy's got charisma, right? All right, so I want to hear the full 1 minute. All right, this is, he didn't speak too long, but he had a few things to say about, well, Joe Biden and Israel, and I think the judge as well.
This is another one. This is without precedent in American history, only with the desperation of President Joe Biden and his fanatic left-wing enforcers did it become possible to think about arresting and jailing their major political opponent. This case must be taken out of Judge Merchant's hands because he's totally conflicted. Judge Merchant is totally conflicted, like probably no judge has ever been conflicted before. Here's another one, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. His prosecution of former President Donald Trump violates both the federal and state constitutions. This is a prosecutor making it up as he goes along. Due process worthy of the names does not tolerate that. So these are statements. This is Andrew McCarthy made that statement. Highly respected. A judge is allowing wide scope of information that has absolutely nothing to do with the case. That's Rebecca Rosewood of Fox News.
You know what I'm going to do? Because I don't like writing articles anymore. They're too much of a pain in the ass. Excuse me. I'm going to start putting out some bullet point memos, right? There's something about having something, right? You can say stuff on TV, the radio, video, whatever. But when you put stuff out, because I'm spot on about this case, and I have been for a long time, all of these cases, you know, you'd be surprised how many people out there, oh, well, you know, the rule of law. Mike Pence, for instance. Mike Pence, we'll have to let the jury determine. Donald Trump is accused of some very serious things, and I will not prejudge the process. The process must take its course. And we, as rhinos, must screw over Trump. Well, oh, what was the other thing yesterday? Paul Ryan, that little punk. Did you hear about this? Paul Ryan, the punk, the rhino. He endorsed, well, he didn't endorse Joe Biden, but he basically said he's not voting for Trump. How about keeping your mouth shut next time, huh? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut? Or if you're going to open your mouth, try pulling a Michael Rapaport. I love this guy. Cut 15.
Smoking Joe Biden. Cadaver Joe Biden. You know who I am. You dumb old m***er. You have the you bet your old you. You're not sending weapons to Israel during a war while American hostages, and hostages from 22 countries are still in that f***ing You're not sending weapons now, you dumb f***. You, let me tell you something. I never, ever, ever thought I would say this. Okay, but I could promise you this right now. Smoking Joe Biden, cadaver Joe Biden, me, Michael Rapaport, I'm not voting for you. You're not getting my vote. And plenty of us also ain't voting for you, you f*** you. I said it once, And I'll say it again. This is why voting for Donald Trump is on the table.
Oh, go ahead and do it already, Michael Rappaport. It's on the table. He's still thinking about it. You don't have any other choice, quite frankly. RFK, interesting guy, some interesting ideas, but he can't win. And if you wind up voting for him, it could hurt Trump, actually. So vote Trump, all right? I'm not officially endorsing anybody. It's just that, well, that's my intention. And I can't call it an endorsement, but you guys know how I feel. Paul Ryan, how dare you? All that stuff that you got from us, the American people. He goes into Congress. He's in his 20s, right? Comes out vice presidential nominee with Mitt Romney. Fails in a debate with Joe Biden. You got to be a pretty bad politician to get beat by Joe Biden in a debate. People forget. We know him primarily as the guy who backstabbed and front stabbed Trump, but he was also the guy who was the running mate of Mitt Romney. Yeah, Mitt. Remember him? What a promising young man. So he lost that debate. They blew it. They blew that election. It was totally winnable. And he screws over Trump. He quits being speaker because he can't be speaker anymore. And he's out there making a gazillion dollars. And what does he do? He goes from global conference to stupid seminar to a waste of time symposium, right? Davos, the Milken Institute, all these things where rich people come together and say, isn't it fabulous how rich we are? You know who goes to these dumb things? Joe Biden, when he was an ex-vice president. This is where he met Tony Bobulinski, and Tony Bobulinski realized, oh, my God, you're a corrupt bastard. The Milken Institute. That's where he figured it out. Anyway, there's what's his name? Paul Ryan, thinking he's so special. And listen to this little flip comment he makes. But he's talking to, I think, CNBC. Go ahead.
Character is too important to me. And it's a job that requires the kind of character that he just doesn't have. Having said that, I really disagree with Biden on policy. I wrote in a Republican the last time. I'm going to write in a Republican this time.
You're going to write in
yeah.
a Republican?
I don't know who yet.
Yeah, I don't know who yet. And he chuckles and he moves his shoulders like, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there are plenty of rhinos you can choose from there. Keep your mouth shut if you don't want to vote for him. You say Donald Trump has a lack of character? You think Joe Biden has character? You don't know a damn thing about Trump. You don't understand him. You didn't bother. You did whatever you could to trip him up in 2016. You never gave him a shot. You were trying to sabotage his agenda every step of the way, which was our agenda, you swamp creature. Yeah, the government, it's been very good to you, hasn't it, being a career politician? How much? This guy's a billionaire in the making. Go to his Twitter account. And if you ever want to wonder why Fox is so bad, because this numbskull is on the board. Paul Ryan is one of the most powerful people at Fox News. And you notice, right? If you listen, some guys are great. We all like Kilmeade. We all like, who else do I like over there? Gutfeld and the rest. They're Hannity. But a lot of them, they hold their nose when it comes to Trump. And you know the ones I'm talking about. Because the network doesn't support Trump, and they try to screw him up in big ways and small. So where does that leave us? Let's take one phone call. Who's there? James in Valley Stream. Is this the 90-year-old man?
98.
I apologize. 98. Wow. How you feeling?
Like my father said, don't ask.
Okay, sir. Fire away. What's on your mind?
What's being done today? Biden is doing the same thing that Truman did, President Truman. He told General Chiang Kai-shek, you have to negotiate with Mao Tse-tung, otherwise we'll stop sending you arms. And he did exactly that. The general said, you can't negotiate with the communists. And they stopped. And where did they go? They went to Taiwan. Now we got China, thanks to Truman, President Truman. We got China on our back. I don't understand. How come no talk show host mentions that? It's all been done before.
Well, number one, it's 75 years ago. All right. Number two, getting into a war with China, and even back then they had a billion people, may not have been a prudent move on our part. So there's that part of the equation. I don't know if it's the same thing. I'd have to brush up on my Truman and read that McCullough book that everybody pretended to read back in, I don't know, 92 or so. I never thought of Truman as a bad guy, right? I mean, he did drop the big one, didn't he?
The communists, thank you.
He what?
He gave us them. He gave us the communists.
All right, he gave us the communists. Now, what the hell are you talking about? That's a little bit much. All right, that's a little bit much. He became president in 1945, all right? April 1945. He was the vice president, as you know, to FDR. Communism was on the march, pal, all right? Communism had been around in Russia since, what, 1917? All right? I mean, I know you were in the war and all that stuff, but just because you were in the war doesn't mean you can just paper over all this stuff, sir.
He told Chiang Kai-shek to stop fighting.
All right, I know, but I mean, there were, you know, other things going on. Look, what do I know about Truman? I'll read up on it. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, that man from Valley Stream, I think, 98 years old. All right, I did a little history checking, and I thought back to, really want to do a good job on this history, so I thought back to the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School, right? Anybody remember the scene? With Sam Kinison, and it's about history, and they want to know about the war and Vietnam and why it failed. And there is a great summary of the geopolitical situation of the 20th century from Rodney Dangerfield, and it's pretty awesome. Sam Kinison, remember that guy who yelled all the time? Gives him the motivation to finally speak up. Let's see, Stormy Daniels. Were you attracted to him? Would you be? I was fascinated. I definitely was stimulated. We had really good banter, good conversation for a couple of hours. I could tell he was nice, intelligent in conversation. Did you think the conversation would have led to what happened? Yeah. Going to the bathroom, do you think you were going to come out and encounter him? That he was going to be in the bed? No, I just had to pee. So anyway, the sex was nothing crazy. He wasn't like, chain me to the bed or anything. It was one position. I can definitely describe his junk perfectly if I ever have to. He definitely seemed smitten after that. He was like, I want to see you again. When can I see you again? Sounds like you might have been a little bit smitten too if this is all true, Stormy.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You know, when you change your routine, when you do something that you don't normally do and you get exposed and you see things that you don't normally see. So I'm walking around court and I have a pretty tight daily routine. And there are a lot of people there, a lot of press people. And you know how they texted? They all texted speaking into microphones. They would, you know, I know that feature exists. I never found it very accurate. And let me see here. So I just texted somebody. the following, and let's see if it got it. So Stormy remembered all of those details about Donald Trump's hotel at Harris Casino, but couldn't remember even the name of the hotel where she stayed. Turns out it was the Harvey Hotel. She made a big deal about how she got to Harris. She walked for a while, and then she got a ride after meeting a friend. As you can see here, I have it on a map. Wow, it actually works very well. It actually worked. I'm going to be a talker, not a texter, for now on. All right. So to our friend in Valley Stream, the 98-year-old who was blaming Truman for communism, well, apparently he's not alone. I want to go back to school. There's a movie came out in the 80s. Great movie. Rodney Dangerfield. Why does he go back to school? Oh, his son is like a wimp in college, having a rough time, and is Rodney Dangerfield says, come on, come on, I'm going to come with you. I'll be in the school with you, the two of us. And yeah, he's in college, and it's a great feel-good, fun movie. And then he goes to college, and he's in the history class with Sam Kinison. This is Rodney Dangerfield, right? Let's listen to what, here's a little bit of history.
Welcome to contemporary American history. I'm Professor Turgeson. You know, a lot of people think history is just facts. It's just information about the past. But not me. I mean, I hold history very sacred. Sacred. The way the farmer looks at the earth and he holds it sacred. The way a Christian takes the Bible and he holds it sacred. The way a lot of people hold their marriage sacred. That's how I feel about it. So why don't we dive right in by interpreting one of the easiest events in the last 20 years of American history. Now, can someone tell me why in 1975 we pulled our troops out of Vietnam?
The failure of Vietnamization to win popular support caused an ongoing erosion of confidence in the various American but illegal Saigon regimes.
Is she right? Because I know that's the popular version of what went on there. I know a lot of people like to believe that. I wish I could, but I was there. I wasn't here in the classroom, hoping I was right, thinking about it. I was up to my knees in rice paddies with Johnson Edwards going up against Charlie, slugging it out with him while he's like you. We're back here partying, putting headbands on, doing drugs, listening to the damn Beatle albums.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you? I mean, these kids, they were in grade school at the time. And me, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. But since you want to help, maybe you can help me, okay? You remember that thing we had about 30 years ago called that Korean conflict? Yeah, where we failed to achieve victory. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the first brick and nuke them back into the Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why? Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it. Because Truman was too much of a wimp to let MacArthur go in there and blow out those commie bastards.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think.
Not bad, huh? Our friend from Valley Stream was on to something. Totally on to something. Hey, I told him he might have. I mean, throwing around Truman and Chiang Kai-shek. It's been a long time since I saw that movie, The Last Emperor. Great movie. That's great right there, what we just heard, wasn't it? I mean, that's fun. That is fun. Sam Kinison and Rodney Dangerfield, they're both dead. Hey, I noticed that Dangerfield's, the comedy club on First Avenue, it closed for a long time, I think during COVID. It's back, but they call it Rodney's now. New ownership, is it the Dangerfield Estate, but it's called Rodney's. I don't know why, but that was a fun place. I like going there. And be careful with the food. I hope the food is improved. It wasn't so hot at Dangerfield's. I'm sure it's a new and clean kitchen. Hello there, Joe.
Joey. Yeah, hi, Greg. What would Jesus do as far as these bombs go? What would Jesus do as far as sending offensive weapons to kill more people?
Jesus talked, we know that there's war. There's a time for war, as you know, and there's a time for peace. All right? So, Jesus was not a pacifist. So, war is a fact of life. It's to be avoided almost at all costs. But I don't think Israel had a choice here. Yeah, that's what I would say to that. Wasn't a pacifist, and there's war throughout the Bible, absolutely throughout the Bible. And there are things that are known as just wars and unjust wars, and I learned this from the Jesuits, and there's absolutely, I think Jesus would be A-okay with it, actually.
That he would be okay with continuing the war.
Oh, yeah, man, you got to get rid of these terrorists. But, you know, look, he doesn't always tell us directly that kind of stuff, right?
So,
what? What?
At the expense of killing civilians?
All right. You think I haven't talked about this stuff before or thought about it before? This is why you hate war. This is why war is awful, right? This is why you fight war as an absolute last resort. And after October 7th, this was the only thing Israel had at its disposal. And I think there's all kinds of biblical justification, all right? And, of course, also in that Bible, Jesus had a special affection for Israel. So just throwing that out, it's kind of a cheap stunt. What would Jesus do? You know, you're not asking me or asking that question as a believer. You're asking that question, you're weaponizing Jesus, I might say. Although I don't like how they say everything's being weaponized, you know? But I think you're weaponizing it, right? You're using it as a trick. You're using it and you think, oh, well, what, turn the other cheek? No, it's a bit more nuanced than that. It's a lot more nuanced. But anyway, actually, right now, it ain't that nuanced. You got to get the terrorists. You got to get them. And war is hell. But sometimes it's necessary. Let's do another one. Rich in Brooklyn. Hello.
Hey, Greg. Ecclesiastes. Very good. You got it. I'm calling about
now. Brent's granted, Ecclesiastes is the Old Testament, not the New Testament, right?
That's right.
So, So keep going though.
No, Greg's press conference. He announces grabbing these cash with all this property, but he let everybody that stole this stuff go. He should charge himself as an accomplice.
Bragg had a press conference.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm a little bit distracted by the Trump atrocity, so I didn't see who did he bust this time?
It's the people that had the possession of all the property that was stolen. Dwayne Reed, CBS. He doesn't charge the guy stealing the stuff, but he's going to grab the guy selling it.
I still don't know what you're talking about, but I'll check up on it. Thank you. Hey, look, and I'm not blowing you off. The guy was right about Korea. Was on at something. Thank you, Alvin Bragg. You know, they got something on Alvin Bragg. So Alvin Bragg was promised $1 million by George Soros. George Soros gave it to a group called Color Me Pink or Color Me Change or The Color of Change, some liberal wacko political action committee. Soros gives $1 million to that group, and the group officially and formally promises to spend $1 million getting Alvin Bragg elected district attorney. They only gave Alvin Bragg's campaign $500,000. They only spent $500,000, not the $1 million promised. So what happened? Well, a couple of things. Alvin Bragg was credibly accused of sexual misconduct by a woman he went to Harvard with. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they tell that story about me. It's on every newspaper in the, right? But Alvin Bragg, somehow this is swept under the rug. I think we should hear her truth, don't you? Right? I was just a local news guy, whatever. Oh, boy. But Alvin Bragg is the district attorney who's going after Trump. I want to know more information. I think that woman needs to come forward, and we need to hear her truth. And I know. Why don't they leak her name like they leaked it last time, right? Why don't they just leak it? I'm not actually advocating that, but, you know, it's interesting how the media operate, isn't it? Right? It's not interesting, and it's pretty simple, and it's pretty horrible. They take care of the left, and they go after conservatives. It's not that much more complicated. Excuse me. All right, wait, what the other thing is? Who's Menzies? Okay, they got some clerk, direct they brought in again somebody from the book company. I told you this, right? The book company. Have we gone into detail? They brought in an editor from Ballantine Books. Donald Trump has written 24 books, and they look for the most obnoxious parts. I told you about that, including the part. Yeah. Just trying to make him look bad. And the jury that I saw, well, I think they want to convict. That's my gut. That's my gut. Mistrial. Mistrial, baby. Mistrial. After that little spectacle and the stuff that I saw today, we'll see. Give me one moment. Many thanks.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
I can't tell what that guy was talking about, Alvin Bragg. Here it is. Two owners of a Manhattan perfume and cosmetics store were indicted for allegedly possessing over $1 million in stolen goods and reselling them for profit. Yeah, he's right. What about everybody who's been stealing from these businesses? Manhattan. A beauty store in Manhattan was shut down for allegedly selling stolen goods. Rihanna's Cosmetics, located near Macy's in Herald Square, allegedly sold stolen goods from Macy's, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade, and other retailers. Investigators say the establishment possessed over $1 million. All right, so it's a little store. When police executed the search warrant at the store and two of its storage units in January, investigators found cosmetics, beauty supplies, and I'm looking at the place. I mean, it's a tiny little place. All right, this is legitimate. Bibi Rahana Khan, 54, and Aaron Khan, 40, are charged with multiple counts of criminal possession of stolen property. Yeah, how do they get all that stuff? Somebody stole it from the other guys, maybe these guys, or maybe they had people do it for them. It's all pretty rotten, and that's rotten. That's a problem, but there's so many other things. To see seven prosecutors. Oh, and you know what's really interesting during these trials? At one point, they have sidebars, right? They want to talk, but they don't want the jury to hear. So, like, 70 attorneys, like, converge on the judge's table at the front of the courtroom. And they have these things way too much, in my opinion. But in the very big cases, they happen a lot when you're all lawyered up and it's an important case. This is a nonsense case. But, you know, political, Donald Trump, and so there are a lot of lawyers involved. I'll read about it when the transcript comes out, which will be sometime tonight. It's not, I mean, we deserve to know that stuff. We deserve it to have access to it, the public record, right? That public record, that's our public record. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Greg. Hello, how are you today?
Wonderful. Are you on the beach?
I'm close to the beach. I'm only a couple hundred feet away from it down here in Florida.
I had a feeling. It sounds nice and windy. So what's going on?
Yes. What's going on? Well, like so many of us, I'm outraged by President Biden withholding the arms that should be going to Israel. And what makes him think that there aren't limits to his presidential power? Obviously, nothing. He calls Trump a dictator. Meanwhile, every day we see him dictating, and this is another example of that. And two things that I'm thinking of. Number one, we know that Biden isn't doing this by himself. People know it, but I would really like to know exactly who comprises the cabal that is working behind Biden with him as their Trojan horse and their mouthpiece. I'm not smart enough to know who those people are, but I'm going to do a little research because I'm sure there are people who know exactly who that is. But the other thing that has me very upset is I'm reading more about the government, Biden, trying to take over the National Guard, trying to get Congress to pass a law that the National Guard can be reassigned by the Secretary of the Department of Defense, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying they want to put them in with the Space Force at their will. They want to take National Guard units at their will and put them into the Space Force. Meanwhile, the governors know, and Governor Abbott just wrote a wonderful letter. Many letters have gone from the governors and the secretaries of state.
All right, Barbara, I'm getting a little bit lost. Forgive me. What's the bottom line on this thing? Just tell us what's going down.
The bottom line is that our National Guard, who we rely on in each state, is under attack by the Biden administration because they want the federal government to control the National Guard. They don't want the state governors and the states to control the National Guard.
Yeah, that's something we have to be very, very vigilant about. And thank you for telling me. I was not aware that this was in motion. That is dangerous. Now, there's a time and a place for guard troops to be nationalized, if you will. But I do believe the authority is with the governor, and I don't like it. This is another power grab. You know, I was going through the streets this morning. Hey, there's Andrew Giuliani. Andrew Giuliani just came out of court. He's doing a great job down there. You know, I was driving downtown, or I was back in an Uber going to the court. I couldn't believe two things, how empty the streets were. It was kind of early, but still, this is New York City, and the streets were kind of empty. And the stores, right? There's so many shuttered stores. And into this kind of vacuum comes the federal government, you know, into any kind of distress. That's what they want. And I could just feel it for the first, really feel it in my gut, how they want this so they can use it to gain even more power. Does that make sense, Barbara?
It completely does. I love Manhattan. I never lived there, but I would visit my daughters there so much. And we have wonderful experiences in Manhattan, and I don't want to go there now at all. It is, as you say, it's like a ghost town. It's like a haunted city. And I believe that the intention is to make New York City a mecca for illegals and for the new United States citizens who are being brought into this country.
Well, we'll just see about that, Barbara. We'll just see about that. We're going to have to get in. Well, you know, look, a lot of things are happening right now. The cases are disintegrating against Donald Trump. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hey, Madeline Westerhout, what are they bringing her in for? Another executive assistant to President Trump. She was his executive assistant while he was president. She doesn't know anything about Lake Tahoe. She doesn't know anything about any NDAs. All right. They are just so desperate, these people. And I'm really starting to kind of hate them. I don't have a problem with Madeline. I have a problem with all the other stuff. Barbara, thank you so much. And Nate, you've been standing by for a long time. Yes.
Yeah, I had to get you off speaker. So I'm not going to go into the details of Stormy Daniels' conflicted testimony. I'm just going to just say that, you know, the Trump trial is purely and transparently political in nature.
Yeah.
I think every reasonable person understands that. But more importantly, I want the audience to keep in mind that the same way this is happening to an ex-president, who's probably going to be the next president, this can happen to you, your neighbors, your family, your friends. And again, the criminal justice system no longer represents justice. It has been weaponized and utilized and perverted for political ends. And again, that is what you have in totalitarian countries. That's what you have in North Korea. That's what you have in China. That's what you have in Iran. That's what you have in countries where there's a facade of legal procedure, but in reality, the legal system is nothing more than a tool used by the government against the people.
Yep, and you and I have always agreed on that, very much so. Nate, thank you. And I'm going to do one more with Arthur in the Bronx.
Yeah, hi. Listen, here's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah? What's the bottom line?
The bottom line is this. My younger sister, she's an assistant manager for the Walgreens stores here in the Bronx. She got a hold of a memo. She showed it to me the other evening. I couldn't believe it when I heard your thing about they arrested that guy, that Rihanna.
It said, don't stop the shoplifters?
It said, not only that, do not prosecute, do not call police, just adjust your prices to reflect the losses, regardless of the limit of the price.
Yeah, don't call the cops.
So they're
huh?
allowing the theft. They're allowing the theft, and they're jacking up the price 200-300% on everything in the store. You can't buy anything in there anymore with $20.
So that's the policy in the Bronx, huh? And what kind of store is this again?
Walgreens.
All right. Well, you know what? I do need a lot of razor blades. They're pretty expensive. maybe I'll just take the four. No, I won't do that. Hey, thanks for the tip. I'm going to check that out. Thank you, sir.